A prosecutor in Paris said today that a French convert to radical Islam appears in a new video that shows the beheaded American aid worker Peter Kassig. The French prosecutor said the man has been on the radar of authorities since he left for Syria in 2013 under the cover of humanitarian action. Kassig is a former Army Ranger who served in Iraq and later became an aid worker. He was captured in October 2013 in Syria and later changed his name to Abdul Rahman Kassig. His parents released this video of an interview with their son that features him talking about his motivation for his aid work in Syria.
I was able to share a little bit of hope and comfort with some people. They were able to teach me something about themselves that I wouldn't have known otherwise. And we each were given an opportunity to look at the conflict in a different way.
Here now, security analyst Jim Walsh is with the Security Studies Program at MIT. He's back with us now. Jim, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
And this video of this killing, well, actually, it shows just a beheaded head. It doesn't show the actual beheading as the others have, but this was different. It was 16 minutes long. It has a place name in it, a place called Dabiq in northern Syria. Is ISIS sending a particular message with this video?
Well, I think it is, but I do want to add it's different in another way. The previous videos had the hostages read statements, and in this case, that did not happen. And I think that was an act of disobedience by a very brave person under very difficult circumstances. But there is a message, and I think you always have to ask yourself, who is the audience? Is it an external foreign audience or is it an internal audience? And I think it's an internal audience. It's a message to ISIS supporters, saying, yes, we have taken a couple of hits over the last month or so, but we can still stand up and we're still strong and you should still support us and come join our cause.
But what about the fact that this was a Muslim? And President Obama pointed this out, that he had changed his name to Abdul Rahman Kassig.
Yeah, I think it's very important. I mean, on the one hand, ISIL has massacred plenty of Muslims, including Sunni Muslims, who have resisted their takeover. The death count there is quite high. But it's good that you mentioned this, Jeremy, because this was a matter of some contest here. There were Islamic militants who came out and asked that his life be spared, in part because he was a convert and a convert would have special status. So there were several who lobbied against this, even among the extremist community, and they went through and did it anyway.
How does President Obama need to respond to these? And especially if they're going to happen, unfortunately, with regularity, does he need to respond each time that ISIS beheads somebody?
Well, you know, I think it's very appropriate to reach out to the families, to call this what it is. It's an atrocity and a tragedy.
But there are going to be some people who come out and say he's got to boost the fight against ISIS in Iraq and Syria.
You know, what happened over the weekend? The U.S. launched roughly 30-plus airstrikes, 10 in I believe it was 10 in Syria and 20 in Iraq. I think that's probably the answer they're going to get. You know, I think we shouldn't get caught up playing their game. This is their propaganda game. I think we need to make statements that speak to our people and to the families, where we show resolve and we show our condolences and sadness at these terrible events. But we need to prosecute whatever strategy we're going to have and not let them define the terms.
But are we letting them define the terms? We're every few weeks now we hear about more troops being sent over to fight against ISIS, even if they're not, quote, combat troops or boots on the ground. We're still sending more and more people over.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's really two big different questions. You know, when we talked about this the first time, I said brutality is not capability. And I think we need to continue to keep that in mind. I take this as a sign of weakness, not a sign of strength on the part of ISIS. But there's a separate policy question about what we do. And I do notice, you know, now we've bucked it up another 1,500 troops. It certainly sounds as if General Dempsey thinks more might be coming. He's at least considering that as an option. And I think we should have pause here. This is a major commitment. One of the unwelcome consequences this week is that we had al-Nusra Front, the al-Qaeda affiliate, join and link arms with ISIS, who they had previously been battling. So one of the unintended but certainly not unexpected consequences of this is that it's forcing our enemies together to cooperate when they were previously fighting themselves. So I think there are big policy questions here that we really haven't had a national debate about.
Well, you mentioned General Dempsey. Let's take a listen here to what he had to say last week. Now, this was before the video of Peter Kassig being beheaded came out. But this is what he said testifying before the House Armed Services Committee last week.
I'm not predicting that. I would recommend that those forces in Mosul and along the border would need to be accompanied by U.S. forces, but we're certainly considering it.
We're certainly considering it. He's talking about the need for U.S. combat forces to help Iraqi troops fighting ISIS. You know, in nearby Syria, we should point out that, and we spoke to officials about this as well, the people that we, the United States, are recruiting to go in and fight against ISIS in Syria are being recruited from refugee camps outside Syria because they don't want to take Syrian rebels out of the country to train them. So instead of doing that, they're simply going into refugee camps and recruiting people who want to go back into Syria and fight ISIS.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is murky and unsettled, which is why we really do need to have a national conversation. I mean, there were reports last week that President Obama ordered his national security team to rethink the whole strategy, that maybe we have to think about Assad's exit and put more emphasis on Syria rather than Iraq. I mean, I think there are a lot of things being discussed and we really aren't on board as a country. I think one of the things we've learned from past wars is there has to be a national consensus. The public has to support your strategy if you're going to be successful. I don't know that if the American public is really clear about where we're at. I don't know if we're clear about where we're at. And I think there are some uncertainties that the president, you know, he wishes he knew them. We all wish we knew them, but we don't. We don't know if the Iraqi government is going to be able to function and stand up and fight this. I think some of the early results are pretty good. In Syria, in Kobani, I think we seem to be holding the line. In other places, in Mosul, Kirkuk, and other places.
Holding the line, but not taking back territory.
Well, in some cases, yes, in Iraq. And so, again, I've always tried to separate these two big different problems. Iraq, that is to say, Iraq was invaded, kicking out the invaders and stabilizing Iraq, which will depend on whether that government functions or not. And then the wholly separate, more difficult and complicated question of Syria. These are two different wars, and I think we tend to lump them all up together as the same thing.
Even if we're fighting the same enemy, you're saying they're two different wars.
Well, of course they're related, right? Because the ISIL has a base in both places, and certainly you could offer a theory, which is reasonable, that says, well, in addition to hitting them in Iraq, we should hit them in Syria as well, because then they have to fight a two front war and blah 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 blah. But these are different places with under different conditions, and as I say, I think the Syria is far more difficult and complex of the two.
Well, I want to ask you about one more different place before you go, and that is Iran. There's a possibility of getting a deal on their nuclear program before the deadline next week. Is there going to be a deal?
You know, I'm still betting yes. I'm betting that in part because I think the negotiators, as they come to the edge of the abyss and they look over and they look at the consequences of not reaching a deal at a time when all of what we've been talking about is happening, how would that even work? You know, would we be fighting with Iran and against Iran all at the same time that we're fighting in Iraq? But separate from that, if we don't get a deal, Congress is going to impose sanctions and this thing is going to slip away and the alternative looks ugly.
Jim Walsh here now, security analyst. He's with the Security Studies Program at MIT. Jim, thanks as always for coming in.
Thank you.